Second Peter 1. And we'll start around 16. It says, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's a lot of con artists out today. I don't have time to really explain it, but you know, when you think of like prophecy, and because that's what we're going to be talking about, and that's what he's talking about here. Let's just read a little bit more. He says, "And coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Say, not secondhand. "For we have received from the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven was heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We had also a more sure word of prophecy." Say, "a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth into a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified. You be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for the anointing right now, God. I ask that you would just anoint my words, anoint my speech, give clarity of thought and understanding, God. Even down low from heaven right now, God, I ask for utterance. I ask that you allow me to speak into the core of your people today, the spirit of them on today. And I give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have your seat. So he says, knowing that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. Like a person that's really aggressive about or selfish, they're going to have a hard time really prophesying, because they're not going to yield to God a lot because they're used to having their own way. They're going to have a hard time. And you're going to have a hard time trusting it, because they'll say things oftentimes that God did not say. He didn't say it. How do you know? I'm going to be talking about today predictive outcomes. Predictive outcomes. Say that out loud. Predictive outcomes. It'll make sense after a while. You got to read your Bible some for it to make sense. Say predictive outcomes. Do you know what I've learned, Sister Watkins? That life is not as hard to figure out as a lot of people make it. That's what I've learned as a saved man. It is not. It's not. The first thing you got to understand is that it ain't perfect. Because ain't no perfect people on the planet, and you not perfect. Right? So once you settle that you're not perfect and the world is not perfect, then you can pretty much navigate this life relatively easy. Not always stressed out. I'm talking about from the standpoint of the believer. Not always agitated and acting behind every time somebody see you. Cause you got it settled that life ain't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I got God. Say, I got God. Man, that's a game changer. That is the game changer. And when you start thinking about it, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know what the expected end going to be. Thoughts of peace right? Thoughts where God is going to give you this great expected end because he shows up to us the ending from the beginning. Why does he do that? He's showing you what it's supposed to look like and what he wants it to look like if you follow him. If you follow him. One or two things happen. Either somehow we started off in God and we unhooked, or what we thought we heard wasn't him. We can unhook from a word that is God, it's still not going to work. Or we can start with a word that was never God and it's never going to work. But if it's God, he gives us this ability, and that's where prophecy comes in. And this is what I've learned, right? I've learned, mother, I don't have to be a prophet to do this. Nobody does. That ability is in you. You got the Holy Ghost. It don't mean you running around, call yourself speaking into people's lives. Some of these people need to shut up. And if they don't, God gonna silence them. He already is doing it. He's already doing it. I said this about a couple years ago, that great men and women were going to be taken from the earth and God was going to start taking leaders out the earth, and he's been doing it. Just like it was said. I'm not no prophet. You should be able to hear. You got the Holy Ghost in you. And he's been plucking them off, and the ones that didn't necessarily die, I'm talking about men and women, right? He snatched them off. He's snatching them off the main platforms. God doing it. Taking them right down. Because they won't talk for him. I like it like this. They won't talk for him. And what I've learned, I've been saying that the most dangerous gifts are prophetic gifts and what? You should get on the web. And do you know I can see how many times people go on the website? I can't see the names, but I can see if it flatlines, there's an algorithm to show me how many times it's been logged on, if it's ever been logged on. You should get on the website and listen to the sermons. Tell somebody of your preacher. Say he pretty good. You can see it on Facebook. You can tell how many times it's viewed. So you should listen to your preacher. He pretty good. Yeah. But what I've learned is that the teacher and the preacher, not the preacher, but the prophet and the teacher, is because they pretty much synonymous. They right there, just, I don't want to do that because that's the little devil sign, but they right there together. Because the teacher helps you get revelation. The prophet gives you revelation. The prophet should be giving you understanding. The teacher should be giving you understanding. The prophet should be able to give you illumination. The teacher is supposed to be able to wake up and give you illumination. That's why they're both so dangerous. If they're not submitted to God. So you should be able to do this. You should be able to say, get a word for yourself. You should say, you should be able to get a word for yourself. You know, we worry about people way too much. And we don't even have no word for our own life. Say, put your own mask on first. Yeah. I'm not going to worry. But he says a more sure word of prophecy, Brother King, because there are times where we need to know what's ahead of us. We need to know, that's what he's talking about right here. We need to know what's ahead of us, what's happening. And he said, people did it of old times, the old men did it. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost in you. If you're born again, for real, you got him. And when he talks, you shouldn't ignore him. Sometimes you had to tell your in-laws, your parents, your kids, people around you in church, this ain't your business. I got the word already. Say amen. So he ain't here today. I don't see him. I ain't got my glasses on. My eyes acting funny this morning. But he barbecued my ribs, so he'll show up when it's time to eat. But he was telling me what the Lord had gave him, and I had told him some things initially. I was sharing some things. I never hit him with a God said, because I wasn't, I can't say that God said that, but it was reason. And then he told me what he felt like God said, and you know what I told him? Disregard everything I just said. Disregard everything I just said. You do what he told you to do. You follow the Spirit of God that's in you. If you felt like you've heard him, then you say, follow that Spirit. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit in you, is to give us understanding, to give us illumination, to give us guidance. That's really one of the major reasons why he sat down in us, not so we can sit up and speak in tongues all day. It's so you can navigate this life without a whole bunch of errors. Grab your Bibles and go to Genesis 12. I want to show you some stuff. Say predictive outcomes. So when God gives you like prophetic instructions or guidance, it's in your best interest to follow them. You should follow them. You should do what he told you to do. Right? How do you know you're hearing from God? If you're born again, it bears witness with your spirit. So there are times where people told me something that they said was God, you know, it didn't bear witness with my spirit, so I'm not moving on it. Meaning that the initial place should have started in me, it shouldn't have started in their mouth. It should have started in me first. So there's things that they tell me, and I'm not disrespectful, so don't hear what I'm saying. I'll just say thank you. But if it don't bear witness with me, I ain't doing it. I'm not buying. I'm not flying. You're not going to get me up in some plane and don't bear witness with my spirit, and then I'm dead listening to you. Or you following me? So when God give you words, you have to follow them. Why? Because your entire destiny, or really your next level of success or your promotion or anything great is attached to that. Your next levels are attached to words. Now, let's deal with next levels in ministry. You can't promote yourself. God can call you, but it usually is another person that confirms that and releases you to that next place. You just don't go. You don't just take a test online and get licensed. You don't just say, I'm a bishop, or I'm a prophet, or I'm a whatever. Because just because you can do it don't make you a prophet. And then if you are, you may not be called to the nation, so don't be running around speaking to everybody. It might just be limited to your church. So you got to know where you're supposed to use certain stuff at. And the truth of it is, a lot of times people don't feel like they qualify to even talk like this, talk about this, if they're not a prophet. How dumb is that? Who you think behind that? The devil. The devil is behind that. So I can hear from God. Say, God guides me. God leads me into victory consistently. So you got to believe this kind of stuff. So in Genesis 12, because I believe God getting ready to advance the kingdom. People that's hearing, once and obedient. Obedience getting a lot of people cards pulled right now. Disobedience is getting a lot of people's cards pulled right now. Because they think they the cat's meow. They thought they were. They thought they were until God started removing the candlestick. They thought they were because people follow you and a bunch of people follow you on lines and you got your little followers, people think they done arrived. That's why they check their little likes all the time. Right? See how many people following them, because, you know, I got to be hearing God if a lot of people are clapping. If you stick in here like on Wednesdays, I'm going to talk about some stuff that's just going to mess people up. And it's coming from something that I heard some people say. And the one lady, she was really behind the movement of Carlton Pearson's doctrine of inclusion. She was one of the first ones to embrace him. And she's really articulate. And then Bloomer was up there, and Reed was up there. And these people, that people give them great credibility in the church. Say, not me. I don't give them no credibility. None. At all. One was talking about all the people that he done released in the ministry. Every one of them that he called off failed. Every one of them that they had great success. All of them have failed. Every one, mega failed. Divorce failed. Everyone that he called out. And she talking, and I told my wife, I said, watch this. I said, if I went up on that panel with them people, I said, they would destroy me from an intellectual standpoint, because they probably done forgot more than what I ever knew. And this is what God told me. He said, but their knowledge is originating from Satan. That's why they're so articulate with it. So what you are learning according to the things of God, he said, it may be limited, but that's why you got the Holy Spirit to guide you. To let you know when you hear something, if it don't bear witness with your spirit, I don't care if it sound right or not, it's of the devil. Because there are people on the earth, they are smarter than you. Don't think intelligence is equal. But just because somebody can explain what they think don't mean that they're right, and it don't mean you wrong because you can't explain what you think. You got the Holy Ghost as I'm listening to you. I know you wrong. So she, her whole thing, because when you open the Bible, you open it to really defend what you believe. Her thing is, she's gay. So she done built a whole doctrine around it. I ain't against nobody gay, so don't you hear what I ain't saying. But she done built, because she's so smart, she can whip through the Bible, and she can really just, if you're not skilled, she'll just destroy you. Now, who released her? Where'd she come from? She come from the 80s singing in a group. You'll know them. Walter Hawkins them. The Hawkins family, singing with the Hawkins family. Right? And then he becomes a bishop. Shazam, he went from singing to be a bishop. He ordains her. She goes to school to get smart how to weaponize the Bible against people who don't know what she know. And then she gets her a partner. Then she want to start throwing shade on all the, I don't know why I'm going this way, throwing shades on this stuff been in the church all the time. Well, why didn't you help people root it out? He gave you this platform. He gave you this superior gift. Why you give it to the devil? Because when you in sin and you do not want deliverance, you look for intelligence to be your bat for you when you are whooping people. Because I can't whoop God, but I'm going to tear your tail up. Every time you open your mouth, I'm going to make you feel so stupid. You know what I'm saying? Because they're weaponizing the word against people. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So you got people who want to be free, and they listening to that woman. And I don't like saying stuff like this, but her days are numbered. Her days numbered because her influence is too strong, and there are people who've been trying to seek God for deliverance, and they listening to her. When they made the video, Carlton Pearson was strong. Within 2 years, he was gone. His influence was too strong. Then people talking about knowledge. You know, knowledge is going to replace faith. Not for the believer. The Bible don't teach that, Carlton Pearson. Knowledge ain't going to replace no faith. Knowledge helps you understand what you're supposed to do to walk by faith, but knowledge cannot replace faith. The just shall live by knowledge. No, the just shall live by faith. They live by the word of God, and they're responsible for teaching people the truth of the word of God. So when God give them a word of deliverance and give them a prophetic word or put a strong word in their heart, they can predict that God is going to get me out of this. I know everybody around me is like this. I know they think like this, but I don't know why I'm going this way, but God is going to get me out of this. I've been seeking the truth. Anybody seeking the truth in here? Some people love lies. They love lies. Brendan think he gonna get my suits. Brendan, I had lost all that weight when I got sick that time. So Brendan said, I'm gonna get them suits. You ain't getting out of one of them, Brendan. I have my wife Saran wrap me around. Just, I may not be able to breathe, but you ain't never getting them. But I put that suit on, bro, the other week, and I go to my wife. I said, is this too tight? I said, how does it look? She said, no, it ain't too tight. She said, look good. I said, the fact that I had to ask you, I already knew it was too tight. I would have took the suit off. You know that dress too tight. That's why you asked him. Say, just take it off. Don't take it off in here. But don't wear it no more until you can get somebody to wrap you with that bubble wrap like I'm going to do. In Genesis 12, are you there? He's looking for folk. God is looking for folk and churches that can follow instructions. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for no real gifted people. If you look through the Bible, most of the gifted people gave God the most problems. They gave God the business. He's not looking for them people. Because the world is rewarding them so great. He ain't looking for them. He's looking for somebody that'll follow him and be obedient. So he's talking about me now. Somebody that's going to be obedient to his voice. Somebody that's not going back down to the crowd because of popular opinion. I don't make this stuff up. Wait, my Bible. And I don't have to lie to you. This is the revelation I came to as I got older. I don't have to lie to people that can't do nothing to me or for me. So you lying. Why do I have to lie to you? You can't do nothing to me. Why do I have to lie to you? You can't do nothing for me. But that helps somebody right there. You don't have to lie to people who can't do nothing to you. And they can't do nothing for you. So you should just tell them the truth. And he's looking for people that they're not going to be doing things to please the crowd. The will of God is what they are living for, and that's what they're walking for. Anybody here like that? God will have us doing things in the natural. This is where I'm going with this. That folks will laugh at you and talk about you. Hey, people come to our events now, but they didn't when we first started. They didn't want nothing to do with us. What changed their mind? You start seeing God move. You can't deny that when you see it. But they thinking you're a quack. They don't like what you teach or preach. Interdenominational faith. That's the name but then claim it group. I guarantee you, I ain't promising nobody nothing over here but Jesus. And if you get that, then you get all the other stuff. But I guarantee you, we preach more than just that. That's why people come, because we helping people solve problems. Anybody know what I'm talking about? People are getting their problems solved, and he He's going to do things in the natural. He'll have you doing them that you can't even fully explain. Things where people think you're losing it. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? People will think you lost your mind talking about selling all your stuff and moving across the country with two babies and diapers and a few hundred dollars in your pocket. Did you hear from the Lord? Has it proved to be God? So they'll think you, y'all giving that stuff away. Y'all going to need all that stuff. Why do I need two washers and two houses? God said, get this one away. He's going to give me another one. He gave it to him. So when you start doing stuff like that, I'm a retire. I'm getting out the military. I knew a man who got out of the military with 16 years and not put out. He got out because God told him to start a church. All on boards. They weren't my peers. I'm just a junior soldier. They laughing at him. Turns out he was exactly right. God told him to give up 16 years to follow him. And he did exactly for him what he told he was going to do him. And God going to do exactly for you what he promised you. Say, follow the instructions. Doesn't matter if people think you crazy or not. Find 82 years old, move across the country, know nobody, but you knew God. And God bring you to a place where people have been praying for you, welcome you in like you've been here for 30 years, and God give you perform. It don't make no difference if people think you crazy or not. Say, follow God. Because if you're following God, you can always predict the outcome. Always. Let's read it. Genesis 12. And now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show unto thee. Unto a land I will show unto thee. Because sometimes God finds us and we ain't even seeking him. Abraham finds God and he wasn't even seeking after God at all. They were pagans. They were idol worshipers. And God says, Abraham, I got a plan for you. You just the man that I'm looking for. But this is what I need you to do, Abraham. Get out the country that you at, from your kinfolk, your father's house, and go to a place. I don't even know where I'm going. Yeah, but I'm going to show you the land, Abraham. But the door will not open up for you, Abraham, until you start moving in that direction. That's a word for somebody right now. You waiting for everything to be mapped out. You got the word. If you will move in that direction, as soon as you do, God will start letting stuff open up for you. You can't see it all, because if you can see it, other folks can see it, and they'll beat you to your own stuff. By the time you arrive, the devil will already be on your stuff, and God hides it from you because he's hiding it from them. And when you start moving in that direction, say, it's going to manifest, because the outcome is predictive. You can know what it's supposed to be. You should know what it's supposed to be. He said, I'm going to make thee a great nation. I'm going to bless thee. I'm going to make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. You know, it's one thing to be blessed. It's another thing when you're looking at it, when you're the medium for the blessing. When people connect to you, what's in you flow to them. You're the medium for the blessing. God said, Abraham, everybody that connect to you, he said, I'm going to make you the blessing, Abraham. If they touch you and touch you in the right way, they're going to get blessed just like I'm blessing you. What am I saying? God about to make some of you some mediums. I ain't talking about no devil mediums. I'm talking about the blessing going to be on you so strong that everybody that connect, that's how the place going to get packed. They're going to hook up with you first. They life going to change because they've been sitting in your living room, listening to you witness to them. Say, come on, Jesus. And so he says, I'm going to bless them that bless thee. People don't believe this. I'm going to curse them that curse thee. Hey. I'm like easy like a Sunday morning. Do you hear me? Things that people live for, I literally can care less about. You think you want stuff when you broke. But when you get money, you realize it ain't that important no more. But there have been people that's been blessed because they blessed me. I said this before in this church. I had to tell members, I had to tell my kids, hey, I said, you can, I'll give it to you, but you never gonna be blessed by me giving to you. It don't work that way. I ain't asking you for nothing. It works the other way around. It works the other way around. So if you got it, you should be able to help people. But they can't. That's not no blessing. God is helping them. You see the lingo? But he said, I'm going to bless them that bless you. And then there are people who raise up against me. I ain't going to say, oh, I'm too seasoned to be trying to fight with somebody. I tell my son, I don't have to be strong, son. I just need to look strong. That's going to divert a lot of enemies just right off the bat because I ain't trying to roll in the dirt with nobody. But people want to challenge you. They want to put their mouth on you. They think people have said all manner of things on me, and then they can't figure out why their life and some of their ministry spiraled. Because I'll curse them to try to curse you. They try to speak negative over your life. They know they're looking at the blessing. Why are they doing that? All they're doing, they're bringing a curse on themselves. They know. They're looking at it. They see God moving, and the whole time they're talking about, and then everything just spiral out of control. Say, watch who you're putting your mouth on. Say, watch who you're putting your mouth on. And watch this, be deliberate about who you bless. Did you get that? I don't know why y'all, I think y'all a lot smarter than me because y'all don't never take no notes. Like, you're like, I said, and they'd be like, I already knew that. I think I'm spitting out good revelation. They'd be like, yeah, I already knew that. And I'm thinking, dog, what am I doing up here then? Be deliberate about who you bless. Do you know there's certain things? Let me take. I have to be careful sometimes. But like based off what I need in my life, oftentimes determines who I consistently and deliberately bless. So, like, even if I need something in the church, I'm deliberate about who I use ministry resources to sow into. Because I'm looking for something on purpose. So when I'm deliberately in who I bless or try and try to tap into it, you know what happens? It shows up in here. Say, be deliberate about who you bless. It works. It works. He says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this is an incredible opportunity for Abraham. Say predictive outcomes. This is an incredible, man, I'm going to tell you, if some of y'all get this, before the end of this year is up, you're going to be in a whole different place. I'm telling you, some of your family is going to be in a whole different place. He says, your family, all the families of the earth going to be blessed because of you. So here's this. What's the prophetic instructions that he gave him? Look at it. Look at number 1 through 3. What's the instructions that he gave him? Get out your country. Leave your kinfolk. That some people ain't doing that at all. And leave your father's house. Leave your father's house. Hey, hey, y'all do what y'all want to do, but I'm gonna say it because it just popped in my head. But I had to explain this to some people that I worked with in South Carolina. Because the thing now is that a lot of women are keeping their father's last name. But they're not in his house. Your new blessing is assigned to your new man. You should honor that. Because you're taking your daddy with you. And he done told you to leave his house. I know feminists don't want to hear it. Get your husband's name. If you ain't using him and you're going to get a divorce sometime soon, why you don't change the name? What's the problem keeping the name? What's the value in keeping it? That's my daddy name. Then marry your daddy. See how that worked for you. Don't marry your daddy. You have to, because people take you literally these days. Don't marry your daddy. Say, leave his house. And take your husband's name. You come in one. You tapping into a blessing. You hold a portion of that. That's why he hooked y'all up. Say, leave your daddy's house. So you got to leave your birthplace. You got to leave your relatives. Why? Because if you don't leave your relatives, you're transporting old mindsets. A lot of, Sister Watkins, what we call generational curses or just generational behaviors that open up the same type of curses, but it's behaviors. You carry the same mindset. God bless people. He pluck them out these places, bless their life, give them husbands, give them wives, give them children. I mean, they start growing in God. I mean, sat in church all them years where they was at. Now they growing in God, and the whole time they be trying to get back home. What they think is home. Say, this your new home. Tell somebody, say, this your new home. You ain't going nowhere. Sooner you embrace it, the happier you'll be. You ain't going nowhere. Leave your father's house. Now, why is this important? If Abraham does this, he can predict his outcome. If he does it, he can predict what's going to happen. If he don't do it, he can't predict what ain't going to happen. God tell him, he says, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you a great nation. That don't happen if he don't leave. I'm going to bless you. Say predictive outcomes. A lot of people, you know, you can't convince me that you're blessed and you're not blessed. It can't just be this church jargon no more. That there is a spiritual and a natural. Abraham's things really, and we the seed of Abraham, his blessing was really natural and associated with faith. So he says, I'm going to make you blessed. I'm going to make your name great, reputation. When people hear about your name, that's RJ and Michelle's boy. Yeah, you good. That's EJ's. That's Earl's son. Oh, yeah. See, your reputation precedes you. So before you get there, your name is there. And as your boys is walking up there, they honoring them, but they really honoring you. I'm going to make, say, God about to make my name great. He going to restore your reputation. He going to, for some of you, what he's going to do, he's going to start off with you by helping you repair your credit. Some of you should have grabbed hold of that because you can't buy no house with no 500 score, credit score. Your credit score is low, so low because they're saying your reputation is bad. God going to repair your reputation. He's going to do it on paper too and digits. So when you go forward, you can get what you want in Jesus' name. So when you think about it, this predictive outcome, he says, and I'm going to make thee a blessing. He's saying that there are times you should know exactly what God is going to do in your life. All this stumbling and bumbling around, I don't get it. Most people can't tell me, you know, even if they come in, I don't care what their gifts and talents are. God used me to start this church. Now you got to, you walk with me because I want to show you something. This is important, that there are times you should know exactly what the outcome is. If I do A, B, C is guaranteed. No questions asked. If I do X and Y, Z is guaranteed. Do you know why people don't do this? Because nobody teach them this is where it's supposed to be. It's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That didn't work. Let me try something else. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That didn't help. Let me try something else. Let me use your eeny, meeny. Your miny and mo. That didn't work. No, because you're doing something that you don't, God not leading you to. You have not heard from God yet. What should you do if you ain't heard from God? What should you do? Nothing. But if you've heard from him, what should you do? Act right now. If you haven't heard from God, what should you do? Nothing. If you have heard, this is better than y'all listening, looking. If you have heard from God, what should you be doing? You should be doing something. You should be doing something. So I only said all that to say this, you know, if following the instructions that God has given you, some of you, you're going to be able to predict what's coming to you. You're going to be able to predict the outcome. God has already shown you what it's supposed to look like. If you follow what God has told you, he's going to move you higher. I don't care what your loss is right now. It's going to be better if you just follow God's instructions. These instructions are going to make your life fuller. For some of you, if you'll follow God's instruction, God had manifested himself to you in a long time because your life ain't pure. If you'll follow the instructions, God will purify your life, and then he'll start manifesting himself to you again. Say predictive outcomes. And what God has called us to do, you to do, we got to understand God is the boss, you're not the boss. And the promise that God has given you, watch this, is linked to you obeying him. That's why he said to tell somebody, if you can follow the instruction that he's given you, your obedience will make a way for your family members who are trapped to get out of conditions, and God will use you to be the conduit to pull them out. There are going to be people that's going to be born again in your family that are yet to be created, and you got to follow the instructions first. He lets you get away on purpose, but really when you go back home, everybody's still doing the same thing. They still drinking, they still smoking, they still having all these babies, they still dying, they still going to jail. Say, God is changing my life and my family's life with predictive outcomes. If you do it, it'll change. Tell three people, stop holding the promise and act on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to throw this in, though, because but when you in church, because this helps people come in and people in, you know, sometimes people come in, they got better gifts, they still not the pastor. He shouldn't be making no adjustments off what they're saying. They got more money. Because these days, people buying their way into leadership. He shouldn't listen to them. Maybe they got more education. Education don't necessarily make you smarter than anybody. It just means that you learned a level, you got a degree of understanding in an area that they may not have, but it don't necessarily make you smarter than them because they didn't go to college. So when people come in, you have to understand this just right out the chute. you didn't receive the vision. Say amen to this. You didn't get the revelation to start the church. What you should be doing, you have to remember that you are the follower and not the leader. That you are the echo and not the voice. You are the follower and not the leader. You are the echo, meaning you get the word from up here and then you repeat it and you repeat it. We saying the same thing. You repeat it. You repeat it. You repeat it. You get the instruction. You doing it. You doing it. You doing it. You doing it. But you don't come in here talking about, well, I think we should be doing that. Say, you're not the leader. You are the follower. You are not the voice. You are the echo. Say, you are not the leader. You are the follower. You are not the voice. You are the echo. Now ask somebody, are we saying the same thing? But people have been making all these adjustments. I will not make no adjustments. He says, so Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So let me speed up. Give me 5 minutes. I ain't going to tell you that. I'm almost done. How about that? So, to do what God wants you, you're going to have, this is not some exhaustive list, but this is a few things you definitely going to have. You're going to have faith. If you ain't believing nothing, that's the story of your life, because you ain't believing for nothing. You're waiting for something that you ain't believing for. Let me explain to you how this works. This is why you need to know what the outcome is going to be. Because just because you know the outcome don't mean that you have faith. But faith helps you get to the outcome. So you cannot apply faith where you don't know you're going. You can't apply faith, sis, you can't apply faith in an area where you don't know what the outcome is supposed to be. If I don't know what I'm believing for, if I don't know what I'm releasing faith for, I'm just believing. What am I believing for? Well, I don't know what I'm believing for. I'm believing God to do something. Well, what do you believe in God to do? I don't know what I'm believing God to do, but I'm believing God to do something, because you need to know the outcome. You need to know what you're looking forward. So now I can get in this Bible. I can find me some scriptures. If I don't know none, I can get in the Bible. I can find me some scriptures. And I'm going to say, I'm going to start confessing this over my life. I'm going to release my faith over this word right here. I don't know 50, but I found me one. But I got to have faith to get to a place. But I need to know the place so I know where to apply my faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand? Because what people are doing, they just believe it. Believing for what? What is the outcome are you looking for? People on deathbeds. Man, make sure you get the right people. If I'm dying, please don't burn. Please bring some people in there with some faith, not some people just believing. Because are you believing that I lose, you know, I get up and I ain't got no legs? Or are you believing that, you know, I can't see? Or, you know, you believing that if I'm going to go, I'm going to go quickly? No, I want my legs. I want my arms. I want to be able to see. I want to be healthy. What's the outcome? What are we trying to get? What are we believing God for? That they transition smoothly or that we get them back? What are we believing God for? But it's a lot of chatter. This stuff will change your life if you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not just preaching something. This is how I live. Try to live my life. That's why you here. That's why God has been able to do so many things, not because I'm special. Say, this stuff works. It'll work for everybody. It should be working for everybody. Is my faith the same as some God you see on whatever? Maybe not there. Maybe I ain't there yet. But what I am, I'm going to work everything what I got. Say, work everything that you got. Whatever your faith is at, work it at the level that you at. Allow God to fix everything that's broken at the level that you at. And then believe him to take you to another place and do something greater. But I'm not going to just sit around and say, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting. Say predictive outcomes. So you need faith. Faith always requires obedience. So like disobedient people, they never in faith. So if I tell you to go right, if God is using me to talk to you, he doesn't talk to you, and then I tell you, God said go right, and then you go left, he never going to honor disobedience. He never going to honor that. God going to come see about me. He never going to honor that. He'll start saying, come back. Come back. Come over here. Mm-hmm. He's calling you out of darkness now. Come back. He's not finna come in there and pull you out. Because you can hear, you heard him the first time when you went left and he told you to go right. Come back. No, I told everybody I was going left. Yeah, yeah, you should tell them that I was wrong. I'm going right. Come back. That's all he's going to say. He's just pulling you out. He's leading you out by him. Even today, he's leading some of you out today. All you got, he's coming back. Come back, because you that ain't working. You know you're wrong. Turn around. I've invested too much. Lose it all. Is it worth losing everything that you've invested in something to get back in the will of God? Of course it is. Don't be no dum-dum. If it costs you $10,000 to get back in the will of God, that's worth. It's worth more to be in the will of God than be over here filling the fallon talking about, I done put a lot of time in this. I done put a lot of money in this. I done put a lot of effort in this. I done put a lot of energy in this. Come back. He not coming to you. He going to call you this way. Now, you can keep messing around over here if you want to, but your time is ticking and you're going to die out the will of God. Come back. That's all he's going to say to you. So watch this. There is no faith without obedience. What is obedience? Ask your neighbor, say, what's obedience? I'm glad y'all asked them. They don't know. I'm going to tell you, though. Obedience simply means this. It means yielding. You've heard me say that a lot around here. Just yield to the Lord. Most of you, it's no doubt in my mind, you're born again. In this church, I'm talking to this church now, because you keep coming back. You keep serving. You keep showing. You keep sowing. People, you're loving. You're kind. Which love is the real proof that you're born again. So I know God is in you, but sometimes we won't yield to God. The dumbest thing you can say when God give you a pastor is, I ain't following no man. I'm going to follow God. You never going to find a human that's following God that's not following a person. Show me one. Jesus followed his mom and daddy. Show me one. Open the Bible and show me. Show me a human that was following God and they wasn't following a person somehow. Elisha was following Elisha. Moses was following his father-in-law for a period. Abraham, the same thing, was with his daddy. Show me one that wasn't following somebody. The disciples followed Jesus. Show me somebody who wasn't following somebody. When God got ready to put faith in Mary, he said, now go over there to Elizabeth. I want you to look at what I'm doing for a living. Show me somebody that wasn't following somebody and they called themselves having some great relationship with God. They're a lie. They're a liar. I'm listening to God. I ain't following no man. That's your problem. Because you won't follow nobody that God put out ahead. I won't follow no man. I'm not going to follow. Say, don't be so simple. This too boring? I've done things that my pastors have asked me to do, not wanting to do it. Guess what happens, Sister Sanders? It worked out exactly like they told me. I've done things that my parents told me to do. Grateful that I did. You know what it did? You know what it did, sis? It worked out exactly like they told me it was going to work out. Say, follow the instructions. So what am I saying? You have to be submissive to the authority of the word that produces a relevant position, a positive action in line with that word that you receive it. It has to be a positive action. I mean, Abraham had to go that direction. I only put that down there because I really wanted to say this. Because this is going to help some of you, because you want God to make you. He's not going to make you at all. If God want me to do it, if God want me to do it, he's going to have to make me do it. He's never going to make you do it. That means that he has taken your free will away from you. He's never going to make you do it. Hey, turn around, come back. You should tell some of your friends that. That's their whole problem. They're out there wasting your time. They've been born again, and they out there slopping in the slop, nasty and filthy, and won't come back to God into the house of God. You should say you should come back to God. You should turn your life around. Let that man go. He got a bunch of girlfriends. He don't even want you. You know about them all. Let him go before you contract AIDS. Let him go. You know what he's doing. You see what he's doing to you. Why am I going this way? I don't know. Let him go. Say, let him go three times. Let him go. You already know what he's about. So God ain't going to make us do it. It's got to be completely voluntary. That's why can't nobody just grab you by the hand and say, come to the altar. You're going to give your life to the Lord today. Come on, it's your time. The Lord is telling me it's your time. The Lord might be telling you that it's your time, but it ain't my time to pour you and make you. See, a lot of people done made people give their life to God. What does that mean? It never happened. It's got to be voluntary. You got to want to be saved. Anybody glad you saved? So, because the truth of it is, if you don't want to get saved, you don't have to live saved. But you still saved. What did he say? If you save, you don't have to live saved. But you are saved. And now you out there with the devil on his territory with no covering, and you the enemy, what you think about to happen to you? What do you think about to happen? You think he's just going to welcome you back? Tell somebody, you saved. Act saved. Talk saved. Live saved. Change your friends. Say, you saved. Come out of darkness. Come out of clubs. You saved. Stop drinking. Stop fornicating. Tell them, say, you saved. Stop fighting. Stop cussing. You saved. Stop thinking like that. Stop acting like that. Stop watching that. So I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I am. I'm glad I'm saved. I ain't never going back. What's the worst the devil can do to you when you're saved? Kill you. He didn't kill me. I'm present with the Lord now. What's so there's nothing he can do to you when you walk in with God.